We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game. Alongside Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenball. Thank you so much for spending some of your time this morning with us. Today's magic number is 7. That's the total number of Super Bowl rings appearing on the program. Michael Haynes joined us at 6:30. He's got one of them. Randy Cross has three of them. He swung by at 7:30. Jerry Rice is coming up in an hour at 9:05. He's got three Super Bowl rings as well. Michael Silver in just a few moments, as well as a $1,000 giveaway. But first, the shootout of all shootouts. Shootout to end all shootouts. Lo Neal, Dan Dibley, the Ellie Mae Classic, TPC Stonebray, and Hayward yesterday. AM versus FM. Tell me, Dibs. I left early. How did FM fare?
Well, it was tough. I waited actually until AM finished, and when I was able to squint across the green at their score, yes, I knew we had it. FM 2 under, AM even par. And by the way, there were no bogeys in this tournament. You were not allowed to make a bogey. So par was maximum. So we made 2 birdies and 3 pars, and AM, I believe, 5 pars. So there you have it. Score one for the FM dial.
I had established FM as a minus 140 favorite. Apparently, I could have gone a little bit deeper with that. The action was early and often on FM, so very sharp plays by all of you. Lorenzo Neal, you did the broadcast with Papa and Bonte from noon to 3 in Napa.
Yeah.
And you got to Hayward for a 5 o'clock tee time with 5 minutes to spare, and the police didn't pull you over.
Joe, if I was going 85 miles an hour in the front, what was I doing in the back? I was hauling ass. I had to get there, and I had to get there to hurry. You like that one, didn't you, Jody?
That was pretty
nice. That was nice. It's time for the 4K a day cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word EXTRA to 72881. Message and data rates apply. EXTRA to 72881. Michael Silver on all the latest with Donald Penn in just a moment. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
And it's camps, Joe, where we begin with the 49ers back at work today after an off day. The team dealing with injuries to its safety core. Jimmy Ward still on the PUP list with a hamstring issue. He hopes to be back by mid-August. Eric Reed, bad ankle. Jaquiski Tartt hurt his ribs in practice. They all have the day to get back on the field today. The Raiders, meanwhile, have an off day. Amari Cooper sat out yesterday's session due to injury. Gary and Conley hoping to return to the field as soon as tomorrow. And Donald Penn still holding out of camp despite being under contract for nearly $6 million this upcoming season. Story number 2, Bay Bridge Series. The orange and black got some revenge.
And now the pitch to Pence is a fly ball right field. Joyce going back. Joyce at the track, right to the wall, looking up, and this ball is gone. And a 3-run home run the other way by Hunter Pence.
Ken Korak the call here on 95.7 The Game. 10-4 Giants win. Game 3 of the series back in San Francisco tonight. Daniel Gossett against Matt Moore, 6:15 here on 95.7 The Game. Story number 3 is a wild day in baseball. Max Scherzer, first career homer in the first, but he left the game with neck tightness. He becomes just the second pitcher ever to homer and pitch one inning in a game. Christian Vasquez, walk-off for Boston. They beat Cleveland 12-10. John Lester, first career home run in the Cubs win. He also struck out his 2,000th batter. The update brought to you by Bank of the West. With any deposit checking from Bank of the West, make any deposit per statement period, and they'll waive your monthly service charge. Bank of the West, the bank for a changing world. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game. Game. Sorry.
Thank you, Dibs.
Funny, man.
Follow him on Twitter at Michael Silver. He's an NFL reporter for the NFL Network. Michael Silver with Joe Lowen-Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Michael, good morning and thank you for your time. We'll jump right in with the Oakland Raiders and Donald Penn. What's the latest on the left tackle's contract holdout and how do you see this situation playing out moving forward?
I do not know the latest. I know he's still out. I know they're still not paying him. So, you know, the system is not set up very well these days for players to successfully hold out. On the other hand, it always just comes down to leverage. The Raiders obviously need him. He obviously faces fines every day. And, you know, a lot of teams, like I'm here at the Texans right now in West Virginia, their left tackle Duane Brown is holding out. And I'm basically being told by the Texans, we're not doing it. And we're not budging because it's not just about this. It's about every other player down the road. So I don't know that the Raiders are that dug in, but you know, I know if I'm a Raider fan, I'm just hoping for some semblance of good news.
Yeah.
Right now, I think it's a holding pattern.
And a quick resolution, I'm sure, would be nice, Mike. If the Raiders don't have Donald Penn available for the first preseason game, do they play Derek Carr at all? Is it too much of a risk to play him without your left tackle in there?
Oh, that's why Jack makes the big bucks. I'm sure he'll figure out the best thing. I mean, you know, well, probably they do have some confidence in other people. You know, Mike Tyson's a great coach, so I'm sure he'll find a way to make it work. But yeah, if you, based on what you see in the practice field, if you don't feel like Derek Carr can be protected, then I'm sure fans would rather have him in bubble wrap in that situation.
Mike, you look at a guy, Jahard Ward, you look at Shalik, didn't necessarily play great last year. I think Shalik Calhoun had half a sack. You know, Jahard been injured. How big do they have to play and how healthy do this defensive line and these pass rushers need to be in order for Raiders to get where they want to get? And you know that means the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think if the offense is functioning the way that we believe it will, hopefully they'll be playing with leads and, you know, that helps your pass rush and hopefully it won't be all on them. But, you know, now we've entered after a long, long stretch of, you know, the Raiders being in a very down period. We've entered the era where we try to figure out why they're not absolutely great or how they could be greater. So it's a good conversation to have, you know, for Raider fans. But yeah, I mean, I think you'd like to see a little bit better pass rush, although, you know, Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin obviously being on the same team, that gives you a pretty good head start. And, you know, there's been talk about the linebackers. I don't think the secondary is perfect either, but hopefully this will not be a defense-driven team. It'll be a team that rules people offensively and then has a defense that can take advantage.
NFL reporter for the NFL Network, Michael Silver with Joe Lowen-Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned you're in Houston or you're following the Texans at training camp. What's the word on Deshaun Watson? John McCain, who's covered the team for quite some time, was comparing him to Warren Moon the other day.
That's a pretty nice comparison. I am in West Virginia, where the Texans are training, and I'm watching Deshaun Watson compete right now with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and friends getting after him. So it's been pretty fun. He's an impressive kid. You know, Tom Savage is probably going to go into the season as a starter, and they like him too. But Deshaun Watson is just, you know, I mean, I think in terms of demeanor and taking over the building at an early age, I would, in a seamless way, I would compare him more to Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz, and those are good comparisons. Just guys who get it, who aren't phased, and you know, he seems to have every intangible. And you know, there were knocks on his accuracy in the draft process, but that has not been an issue at all so far in his young NFL career. So I'm excited about him. Not sure if and when he'll get on the field this year, but you know, I think he has it. And yeah, well, you know, John McClain knows a lot about football, though, you know, I don't toss that Warren Moon comparison around lightly. That guy was one of the all-time greats.
Well, Michael, you don't toss that around lightly, but you've, you know, been around the game. So you just give this guy that type of vote of confidence saying that you eventually do believe that he's going to start. If that does happen, what does that mean for the Houston Texans? How good can this team be? Because there's a team over there that I think that is pretty good, too, not too far away from them, and that's the Tennessee Titans. So how do you see that thing shaking out?
Absolutely. I'm all over the Tennessee thing. They blew my mind last year. I thought they were going to be garbage, and they were very, very good, at the point of attack. In fact, I am lobbying hard to cover that opener in Nashville, Raiders-Titans. Just the physicality of that game on both sides of the ball, I feel like, is going to be worth the price of admission, which in my case will be free, just noting that. But, yeah, I mean, I like the Titans a lot. You know, the Texans have that great defense, and if they can get consistency from the offense and get DeAndre Hopkins going a little bit, he's a great player. You know, I'm a big fan of Bill O'Brien. I think he's a great play caller, and I know he's happier about the collective quarterback situation than he has been in his 4 years here. And he thinks Tom Savage is stepping up and is better than people realize if he can stay healthy. And he's very excited about Watson. So right now, you know, all signs are pointing up. I think the Colts are the team that concerns me in that division, especially because I'm just not sure that Andrew Luck is right. I still can't throw. That's a concern. And then, you know, the Jaguars have already proclaimed themselves as AFC champions or Super Bowl participants. Just ask them. I think I've seen three players talking about their Super Bowl potential. So I agree that they're a lot better. I'm worried about the quarterback position there. And I'm curious as to whether these guys are going to be proven correct in their forecasting skills. As someone who has to make predictions a lot, I can tell you that they're often not accurate.
Mike Silver joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Baltimore has had numerous meetings with Colin Kaepernick as far as him possibly joining the team, and now Indianapolis with question marks about Andrew Luck and his shoulder. Do you see Colin Kaepernick landing at either of those destinations, or do you still see him sitting out this season?
Well, he doesn't want to sit out this season. I know that. I know he's working out every day. I know he has not talked money with any team, so anyone who says he's asking for too much money is inaccurate. Anyone who says he doesn't care about football, doesn't want to play, is inaccurate. Those things are not true. He really wants Baltimore. He has been talking to John Harbaugh directly a lot. He has a really good relationship with him, feels very close to him because, of course, he played for his brother. Greg Roman, the former 49er offensive coordinator, is on that staff. And he wants that. He wants the Ravens to sign him. You know, I'm not Steve Bisciotti, the owner of that team, so I can't make that decision, but I would love to see that happen. And then if that doesn't happen, I agree with you. If you're a team that has a real issue with a long-term quarterback injury, if we get a Teddy Bridgewater-type situation, hopefully not that brutal, but a season-altering injury to a starter, in my opinion, I don't know who else is out there that you could call and feel like you have as good a chance to compete with. So possibly the best play for Colin Kaepernick is just to wait and see who gets hurt. But I believe that if the Ravens called and offered him anything, I don't think money would be a holdup, and I think he'd be pretty excited.
Michael, when the CTE issue is discussed at NFL headquarters, what's the biggest concern for the league office as it pertains to CTE? The problems the sport may cause its employees in terms of brain damage, or the money it may cost the league to settle these lawsuits?
Well, I think, you know, they're both obviously valid issues. You know, from a money perspective, they believe they've worked out a concussion settlement, and I think it's going to be a different landscape following this payout, because basically those people who are in the first lawsuit could successfully argue that the risks were underplayed or not revealed, which is a much more culpable situation. The league can successfully argue now, like, hey, listen, the research is out there, we're open about it, everybody knows the risk, and you're still taking the risk, so we're not liable. So I care less about that, but it's a valid concern. As far as caring about its employees, God, I hope they care. And I think the biggest worry, you know, and this is a big, you know, issue, and I don't know exactly how to solve it and have it still be football, but, you know, I think the biggest worry is that, you know, those people like me and others aren't going to have our kids playing. And then I think, you know, it starts to trend toward a less popular sport ultimately. And so, you know, I love the sport. I love watching football. I also love a lot of people who have gone through a lot of horrible head trauma related ramifications, and probably a lot more that will. And you know, I think about it every day, and it sucks. So I just hope that on every front, diagnosis, tech, helmet protection, rules changes and treatment that everybody is attacking this on both sides, NFL, NFLPA, and everybody who cares about the sport.
Follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver, NFL reporter for the NFL Network. He's in West Virginia covering the Houston Texans at the moment. It's Michael Silver with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Dynamite stuff, Michael. We appreciate your time. Enjoy yourself at Texans camp, and hopefully we will do it again very soon.
Thanks, Lowe. Enjoy yourself in Canton. You are the man, and I'll see you folks in Napa one of these days soon.
All right, brother. Love you, man.
All right.
Speaking of Napa, you spent the last couple days up at Raiders training camp. You were working with Papa and Bonte noon to 3.
Yes.
Terrific broadcast.
Thank you.
Does Papa always start an interview by asking Raider players if they've put on 8 to 10 pounds?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got the eye.
And sometimes he even goes more than that, Joe. He hit 20 pounds a couple guys. I mean, he's really got that eye for that weight.
Oh, yeah.
As you're there, there's so many things to discuss. You and I were kicking it around this morning. I got a list of questions. I want to start with positives, but more specifically, I want to start with the tight end position. This offense has the potential to be one of, possibly even the best, highest scoring offense in the business this year. But tight end is a position we've been watching for quite some time. Clive Wolford, is he ready to break out? Jared Cook coming into the mix. Is he ready to take that next step in his development? What did you see from the tight end position during your time at Napa?
Yeah, Joe, I think that they are. The question that you asked, and I think both of them are yes. You know Jared Cook, what he brings to it. This guy can play. You've seen what he did when he's in Green Bay. The biggest thing is we got to see Clyde Walford. We want to see this guy continue to grow. His first year, he caught more passes the second year than he did his first year. But it took him a ways to go the first season. It took him 3 or 4 games, didn't have any catches. Like, when is Clyde going to show up? And then last year, just didn't have the movement that he had. Yeah, he caught more balls, didn't have the wiggle after that, that accident that he had on the ATV. So when you look at this guy, he's a guy that they have to get more out of. The tight end position now in the National Football League, Joe, it's just as comparable as the wide receiver. I know the wide receiver is that diva position, but you go around this league, the tight end position now is going to just it gets as much money because of these guys. They can move the chain. They can cause double teams. They bring a lot to the game. So the tight end position, to me, is just as more high profile of a position than a receiver, just without all the talking and whether the receivers do a lot of that. But they're going to have to get, when they go 12 personnel and they bring in 2 tight ends and it's Cook and Clyde Waffle, they have the ability to really, really now stretch the field. You know, a lot of teams like to go with those 2 safeties deep. When you have 2 guys that can run and stretch the field, especially at the tight end position, and get vertical, now you put a lot of pressure on the safeties, a lot of pressures on the corners, and a lot of the underneath routes come open because of the fact your tight ends can run through zones and use their speed, and now you still got receivers. Who are you going to double? Who are you going to bracket? How do you rotate the defense? And now when you do get those deep drops because you have that speed at the tight end position, you now have that dink down. The running backs can be big in the passing game because you ran off 4 and 5 guys out of from the secondary that ran down the field. So now a lot of underneath stuff can be really, really prevalent in this offense. This offense is going to have to play big and score a lot of points, I really believe, early, because the defense, we know, with the holes at linebacker, inside linebacker, who is going to be the guy? We don't know necessarily right now. The defensive line, there's some questions about. Besides Mac, you don't know who's going to be that in Irving. Who else is going to be that dominant pass rusher? So I really believe that the tight end position is going to be big here. You saw Lee Smith. He's back, Joe. The guy even took a pay cut, and I think that's a reason he took that pay cut from 2.7 down to $2 million, is because I think that that may be some money they're looking to free up for Donald Penn. Even though he got that $1 million up front, he went down, on numbers, it looks like $2 million, but it's only pretty much a $700,000. So if you look at Lee Smith, what he brings, you can go with 3 tight end, go 13 personnel, and now you have a guy who can come in and block. You know what you get out of that. He's a good run blocker. He's healthy this year. So I really believe the tight end position is going to have to play big for Carr in this offense to really get rolling.
31 games, Dibs. 31 regular season games Clive Walford has under his belt at this point. 61 receptions, 688 yards, 6 touchdowns. If it's going to happen, this would be the year for the breakout, would it not?
Without a doubt. And he's got pressure now from Cook at that position. And a lot of times pressure either causes you to succeed or it causes that pipe to burst. And there's been a lot of...
Don't you take his material.
I will steal it. I'm about to reference Clive Waffle that he referenced earlier, because Clive has had many chances to step up and do the job. The tight end position, I mean, go back to Ricky Dudley and other Raider mediocre tight ends. You haven't had a great tight end in a long time. Big question for Waffle is, can he hold on to the football? Because drops is a big problem for this whole receiving corps.
You're right. And right now, Cook has the early edge as a starting. So Clyde's in a situation where, you guys are saying, he needs to step up and play big if he wants to try to be a starter. And at least, even if he's not going to start, he's still going to have plenty of opportunities to make plays. He's got to hold on to the ball. He's got to make sure he knows what he's doing, because he's a guy coming out of college, guys. We said this was going to be a difference maker. You need your tight ends to be a difference maker, especially in this particular league.
Every Raider fan is going to want to know this, especially since it's early on. But after spending 2 days at camp, were there any lesser known players that may have caught your eye? A guy where maybe you were sitting there, and this is where a lot of the great high school talents found. Coaches and scouts from college programs are studying the tape of a guy they're told is a star, and someone else just keeps flashing to the point where you start focusing on him, and then that's the guy you recruit. Yeah. College football history is loaded with stories like that. So as you're up there studying the Raiders, the starters, the guys we know, did any younger guys, any unknowns catch your eye?
Yeah, the kid number 9, Isaac Wheatney out of USC.
Oh, the receiver.
Yeah, the wide receiver. Joe, I watched the kid. He's good with his feet. He's good in and out of his breaks. I think this young man has a chance to make in this team. The biggest thing for, and given that, if he does what? If he can play special teams, that's going to be big for this young man, especially as a rookie when you're trying to make a team. But he's good. He's run good routes. He's got good hands. I thought the receiver class, I looked at the receivers, these young guys are trying to step up and make plays. So I like what they're doing there. I watched a lot of the linebacker drills and watching some of these guys get after and play. Markell Lee, you look in Corey James, a guy who played, was a pass rusher, but now he's a guy that stood up last year and played pretty decent, good with his hands. But, you know, I think that this linebacker position everyone's talking about, maybe get someone if someone get cut, but I think it's going to be done by committee. Don't see a guy that's going to be on out there, you know, a three-down guy. I don't know if they have that guy on the roster. They have a thumper. They got some guys that can run. So you look at these linebackers, it can be done by three, Corey James, Lee, and you look at Jenkins. Those are the three linebackers that I think they're going to be kind of in that rotation, you know, that's going to play. Don't know who's going to get the green dot. It may be a secondary guy this year, because linebacker position, like we, as we know, that Mike linebacker position didn't really address, and Jack alluded to that, but I think it's going to be held down by committee.
If you've got questions for Lo Neal, who's been at camp studying the Raiders, hit us up, 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on the Raiders in the next segment. Plus, Lo is on his way to Canton, Ohio, to help induct LaDainian Tomlinson into the Hall of Fame. Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates, they might not be headed to Canton, Ohio, for very interesting reasons. Lo's got the scoop on that as well. All coming up next, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Worst trending now ever.
Jesus Christ, sakes alive. The account temps brought to you by account temps, somehow? You know what?
I'm at the corner of first and first?
Totally.
I must be at the nexus of the universe.
Good Lord. Flags. There were two fouls on the play. I apologize to the audience for that mess.
Join Bonte Hill tonight at Zone 8 Sports Bar and Grill at Casino Matrix and watch Oakland and San Francisco battle it out. Enjoy half off all draft beers and chicken wings. Please drink and gamble responsibly. I am not the guy that should be reading this. 21 and over, 1-800-GAMBLER. Whose idea was this? Is this a I'm not the guy who should be reading this. Please drink and gamble responsibly. I also probably shouldn't have said any of that. For more info, visit the events page at 957thegame.com. What's up, Bonte? You can't holler at your boy for some chicken wings and beers and some responsible drinking
right,
and gambling?
Right.
I like to go drinking and gambling responsibly? Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Yeah.
It's what Reno's for. Not Vegas, obviously.
Yeah, responsibly. I don't know about that.
Good part. God, that one got away from me. I probably should have read that once first before I read it on air. Because I got to that last sentence. I'm like, this is just, I can't.
My trending now is looking better and better all the time.
Yeah, I can't, in all honestly, tell people that. It's against every fiber in my body. No, seriously, people, please drink and gamble responsibly. 21 and over, 1-800-GAMBLER. It's 1-800-GAMBLER. Again, I'm not joking. At least not like at this exact moment. I was joking before. I'm not joking now. All right. We are opening up the phones for Raider questions. Lo Neal is back from Napa. He was covering the team the last 2 days. He got a good look at everything. He was talking to everybody. The phone line is 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. What do you want to ask Lo Neal? Because our boy is headed to Canton, Ohio for the rest of the weekend to induct LaDainian Tomlinson into the Hall of Fame. He's got big things, but before he does those big things, he wants to answer your questions. I'll fire the first one off, low, as the production staff in the back gets the phone line all squared away. Cordero Patterson, wide receiver out of Tennessee, had a great college career, didn't overwhelm while with the Minnesota Vikings. Hit the free agent market, acquired by the Raiders. He's going to be on special teams, but there's some thought. Maybe he works his way into the offense. What did you see out of Cordero Patterson while you were at camp?
This guy's going to get some burn, Joe. You can do a lot with him. You can do the flanker sweep, get this guy in the backfield, moan him cross in motion, put him like in the triple stance where he's inside. He's not the widest receiver. He's in the middle of that kind of split. It's called triple. You're in that position, and now you get him with a little motion, have a little fake handoff, and then hand it to him, a little end around. You're going to see him run a lot of nine routes. I watched him in camp the first day they were in pads, caught a fade route in the end zone, middle of the – saw him streaking down the field, threw a bomb, caught the ball. I know he had some problems catching the ball, not great hands, not a great route runner. But the guy can still fly. Saw him make some nice catches down the field. So he is going to be on the field, Joe. He can stretch the field, go out on 11 personnel, go three wides, go four wides. And he's a guy that can really, really draw a lot of attention. And also that safety is going to have to play back because this guy can really fly.
Are we going to see him in a lot of bunch formations this year? And also the screen game. It didn't seem like the Raiders run a lot of screens. Is he a candidate to run a lot of screens for this offense?
I don't know if he's going to run a lot of screens when you look at Jalen, the kind of running backs that they have that can do screens. But, yeah, when you're talking about that, you know, in that bunch formation, that means you have a guy at the point, and then you got two guys, sort of like a triangle. We call that a bunch formation.
Three wide receivers bunched together on one side.
Yeah, three of them bunched to the side, but you have – it's kind of the apex. You have a guy at the point, and then you have two guys kind of behind, kind of like a triangle. They are like in a triangle. So,
like an isosceles triangle? Not so much isosceles.
More equilateral.
Yeah. Okay. Equilateral triangle.
Absolutely. So in
pop on the call. Equilateral triangle to the right. Raiders down 7.
Totally.
You sound like him too. But you will, because you can see this guy at the point now. Now he can go ahead and get going to release, to clear it out for the underneath stuff. So you can see a lot of the underneath route, the dig routes, the four routes where you're 15 yards and come hard across the middle. When you see him clear that out in there on his seam routes and stuff. So I think Cordero Patterson is going to be have a say in this offense, and he will be on the field a lot, running a lot of deep routes, as well as those little flanker reverses and sweeps.
Over the last 2 days, how much gun run was taking place up there?
You know what? They had some gun run. They did have a little gun run. They had the true eye. They went in a little 21.
Some A-gap pressure?
A lot of
A-gap. They started hitting recently. You got to bring that A-gap pressure.
Yeah, and you know, Pop talked about that, Joe. It's interesting that you alluded to the A-gap pressure. He said he wanted to see a lot of A-gap pressure, especially early in the season in New England. He wants to see that A-gap pressure on Brady. He talked about how you got to get him off your point. Those speed rushers don't do nothing for Brady because he likes to climb or step up in the pocket. So he wants to see that A-gap pressure.
That is what I've been saying for years. More A-gap pressure. Yeah, you can't bring enough A-gap pressure. They talk about 2 and 3 through the A-gap. Bring 11 through the A-gap, and let's see how Tom Terrific handles that, shall we?
Too much A-gap pressure.
Yeah,
you think that's a little too much A-gap pressure?
11, yeah, Joe.
Maybe a little B-gap. Let's not discriminate.
Maybe a little C, and maybe some...
You can't go... Now, come on. Now you're being ridiculous. You can't bring C-gap pressure. It takes too long to get through. You got the tackle, the guard. It's a whole thing. It's A-gap with a little B-gap, and then maybe you'll stunt in the C-gap, but if they gun run to the C-gap, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of concerns early
in
camp.
The receivers?
A lot of concerns with that equilateral triangle to the left. We shouldn't have probably talked about that. That might be a new wrinkle. All right, phone lines are packed. Randy, Mountain View, questions for Lowe regarding the Raiders and training camp. Go ahead, Randy.
Oh, Randy, too much me.
Randy.
Sorry, Randy.
Have a little A-gap pressure.
Wow.
Is he still on? Randy, call back. We'll get you to the front of the line.
He's got to turn,
turn the radio off.
Yeah.
Randy goes to the end of the line. That's phone. That's a sports talk 101, Joe. I mean, that's as old as I am. Turn your radio down. Don't laugh at that. I'm getting older.
Luis, Oakland, you're up. Lo Neal, what do you got for him?
Hey, Lo. Check it out. So last year, right, when I seen our young dog out there, Carl Joseph, he kind of reminded me of a young Bob Sanders. Had a nose for the ball. Even was hurt like him, if, you know, coming into the league. But, yeah, as I digest. So,
I love
you know,
this
he,
dude.
He was so, you know, like animated, and he was out there, and he didn't give a nothing about nobody. He came out there and balled, basically. So if we incorporate and try to use some of Bob Sanders in our defensive schemes, you know, to help Carl Joseph get a little more, like, active in the game, because as we see, he's like, he's there. He's not like somebody who just like fades away or kind of seems kind of like intimidated by the spotlight. And another two-part question on that. And with Khalil Mack, since we're going to the 4-3, what you think about if we try to use him in the middle sometimes as a mic or as a sandbacker on a strong side to give him a little more, you know, a little more juice back there to navigate the middle of the defense?
Those are great questions you asked.
Yeah, questions plural.
Yeah.
Luis calling up with like 30 questions.
31.
I'm just kidding.
31 to be exact. Now, Luis, I think when you're talking about Khalil Mack, let's talk about the defensive MEP. You can move him in a 4-3 because of the fact you have four down linemen, you got three linebackers. Some of the times you got your sandbacker who's over on the side of the tight end. You're going to have him there, and sometimes he's going to have to buzz out in coverage because you don't want necessarily him to think that every time he's going, every time he's lined up there. And then you're going to turn him loose at that position. And then, you know, you're going to also move him. I don't know if you move him sometime as a spinner, and that moves him, around. You can also put him, because you got four down defensive linemen, you know, there's five offensive linemen. If you bring a linebacker, walk him up in the hole, so now that lineman can't double-team him. You're going to create that one-on-one matchup. So, yeah, you're going to go ahead at times put Khalil Mack over the guard. That's right, over the guard, not just on the wide nine or the, you know, the wide eight or wide playing the seven gap. He's sometimes going to be inside on the guard and the other linemen take those wider splits, and he's going to have one-on-one inside there. So, yes, they are going to move Khalil Mack around, and that's why Shalik and those other guys have to play better on the outside to pressure where they can get wide splits for you can have create more space to give Khalil Mack more room inside to do his damage. When you're talking about Carl Joseph, he can play.
She's come up for air. You can take a breath. It's all good.
No, I just want to, you know, because
you
know
get
we
the
got
ball back. He's over there like puppet. It's like just, you know, he's into it, son. It's your radio.
It's not Russell Westbrook radio. We'll pass it back to you.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, you guys got it.
Here's what we're going to do. Phone lines are packed. We're going to keep it open. Lo Neal's taking your questions on training camp. You want to know about Marshawn Lynch. You want to know about the rookies. You want to know about the offense. Little gun run, little A-gap pressure, little equilateral triangle right and or left. Lo's going to answer all of them. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Joe Lo and Dibs back in a flash. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Phone lines are juiced, ladies and gentlemen. Lo Neal, 16-year veteran, future Hall of Famer. You got him at your disposal. He's back from training camp, but he leaves for Canton, Ohio. Are you leaving today or tomorrow?
I'm going to leave early tomorrow morning, Joe. I got a 5 o'clock flight, so I'm going to be out of the air, flying out of Fredericksburg. So get out of here, go get packed up and ready to roll. Dips, why don't you sing? I love it. You got a great voice.
I love it. I love Tom Petty. This is great. You missed it all yesterday, all the Tom Petty
and
talk.
No, you didn't miss much of anything.
No, you didn't.
You missed Mount Overrated Rock Band more.
Oh, wow.
Of which Tom Petty is in the George Washington position.
It's a classic troll job.
It's trash.
Lasted about an hour.
This is a classic troll job from quote-unquote nice guy Steven, who has another nickname that may come out here in a minute.
I got some tickets to give away. Oh, I almost forgot about that. Here is your chance to win a pair of tickets to the K-Fox Summer Send-Off Concert starring the Steve Miller Band and Peter Frampton. Live at Shoreline Amphitheater on Saturday, August 12th. Tickets available at LiveNation.com. That's LiveNation.com. Trivia question, text line today, people. Text line. PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. First correct answer gets the tickets. Who hit the walk-off home run in Boston's insane 12-10 comeback victory over the Cleveland Indians at Fenway Park last night? 95795, text line. Who hit the walk-off homer in Boston's insane 12-10 comeback victory over the Cleveland Indians at Fenway Park last night? Best baseball game of the year, bar none. All right, so like we said, Lowe's back from Raider training camp, but he leaves tomorrow morning for Canton. So he is here answering all your questions about the Oakland Raiders. The phone line is 888-957-9570. Before we go to the phones, let's follow up on the question asked by Luis in the last segment. Carl Joseph, Bob Sanders comparisons, but more specifically, what to expect from Carl Joseph this year.
I really like this young man, Carl Joseph. You like the way this guy runs. You looked at him last year. He was coming off a knee injury. Didn't play as well as he would like to, but he's physical. We get that. Also, he had turf toe. The guy played with the turf toe. The guy was hurt. He feels good, Joe. The guy's put on about 10 pounds. He's a little bit more physical. I like what he's going to bring to the safety. Also, when you look at this guy, you saw him cover the tight end at times last year, and he was in position and just couldn't make a play. A lot of it had to do with his footwork. He talked about it. We had him on. And he sat down with some Papa and Don Vontae's show yesterday. And he talked about his footwork not being in the right position. Your eyes take you to the ball. Your feet keep you in line with the ball. And sometimes these young men, they take their eyes off their work and they think they can just do it. And then they forget their footwork and don't bring their feet with them. And a la tight ends can get open and people can beat them in some of the coverages. So he really took this offseason and said, I'm going to work on my footwork to understand what I'm going to was alignment and assignment. And what does that mean? If the tight end is in a flex position or whatever it is, I know if the boundary's there, he can't run an out route. He's not going to run a nine route. He's only going to do things inside. So alignment and assignment helps so many of these cornerbacks and safeties to get in the right position to know what they're doing. So I really like that this young man has been studying. He understands trying to start learning the nuances of the game. That gives me great hope at the safety position that you have a guy that can now go up and line up and know his assignment, and by the alignment of the offense, you can take away certain routes, and now you're not guessing. So I like that, and that's a sign of maturity, Joe.
888-957-9570, your Raider questions for Low Neal. Schneebs in Livermore, thank you for calling the program. Please go ahead.
Okay, Low, everyone wants to know about Marshawn, right? So my big question to you is, over, under for this season on number of hallways pistons?
Well,
let's go ahead and keep it moving.
Wow.
This is the problem, Raider fans. Tyler on the 101. Tyler on the 101, go ahead. Questions for Lowe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Go ahead. Lowe's listening.
Right on. Hey, so I listen to the station pretty regularly on the way to work in the morning, and I listen to you guys talk about expectations for the Raiders, and they're frequently sky high. But they always seem to end at the AFC Championship game. You know, it's always, this team's good enough to make it to the AFC Championship game, but never pass. And I agree very much. I don't think this team's good enough to beat the Patriots. And maybe they could potentially beat the Patriots, but they're definitely not a better, more complete team than the Patriots. And so I wanted to ask Lowe and pretty much all of you guys, I guess, what's the point? You know, are you guys sticking around trying to wait for the Patriots to die? Are you, I don't know, like, what's the window for the Raiders, and will it outlast the window for Tom Brady and the Patriots?
Fair question. Thanks, Tyler. Lowe.
Well, here's how they beat them this year. I believe it's going to be tough to get home field advantage. I watched them practice and stuff, and I still believe the Tennessee Titans are going to lose that first game. And I think it's going to help them. I think that game's going to be a 7-10 point game. Tennessee beats them. It's just going to be tough. It's hot there. They're going on the road. You're playing them 3 years in a row on the road. I don't think it's going to determine the outcome of the season. But I think it's going to build and let them know they're not as good as everyone thinks they are. This team is going to have to make some improvements, and it's going to have to be, we understand it's going to have to be drastic on the defense. I wouldn't be surprised in week number 8 if they're not getting it done, Joe and Dibs, that they go out and they make a trade for an interior lineman, one of those guys that can get after it. I'm talking about that can play the 3 and make sure he can get some push in the middle. That's going to be interesting to see how the young kid from UCLA, Eddie, how he steps up and see what he can play. You know, the DN, see if, how well he does the D-tackle. So I believe you can, if you can get push on Tom Brady in the middle, and if you can get better play at your corner position, and don't, and understand if you try to bring pressure, Tom Brady's going to eat you up. If you blitz him, secondary pressure is just when you bring a linebacker. You can't compromise the integrity of the secondary trying to necessarily bring the house, because once you bring the house, there's zones open, especially when you're trying to blitz a guy and bringing a guy out of the secondary. So I think you have to beat them by continuing to get better up front defensively. Because offensively, I think that we have it. I think offensively, we have it. The center and our 2 guards, those guys are solidified. Tackle position is the question mark. So they can beat New England this year, but they have to get better defensively, because you're not going to, if you got to be able to hold New England to 24 points, if you can hold them under 24, you got a fighting chance of beating them this year and beating them in the AFC Championship if that's the team that's going to be in front of you.
We're going to talk to Jerry Rice at 9:05 and Alex Pavlovich at 9:30. Dibs, same question right to you. The window, remaining window for the Patriots, the window for the Raiders, how do they overlap?
I think it's 2 or 3 years for both, and I think the big question for the Patriots is Tom Brady, and if he says he's going to play well into his 40s and he's already 40 years of age now, then their window extends as long as he's around, because I think that he and Bill Belichick will be there together. Once Brady decides he wants to hang him up, I think the hoodie leaves as well, and New England's window then closes. With the Raiders, you've got Derek Carr now signed for 4 or 5 years. Khalil Mack is coming up next. You've got your critical pieces on the offensive line. Cooper would be next. I think your window for the Raiders, still 2 to 3 strong years, depending on what the other pieces do.
When it falls off in New England for Tom Brady, and it's going to fall off, he's human, it's going to fall off. When it happens, not only is it going to happen out of nowhere, not only is it going to happen dramatically and drastically, it is going to be the number one story in America every day for months. That's how it's going to play out with Brady. Brady's not riding off into the sunset. Brady's not going to play 1 or 2 more years of high-level elite football and then say, I'm done. Thanks for everything. I'm the greatest. I'm out of here. Brady's going to have to tuck his tail between his legs when he leaves, because he's not leaving on his own. Too competitive. The game's going to force him out. I don't think he finishes his career in New England. That's a whole nother story.
Wow.
But I think he might have one more year left. But when that fall off comes, if you hated the conversations about LeBron versus MJ or Warriors super team or Kevin Durant or any of those major talking points that have dominated sports talk over the last year, you are going to hate that story even more, because that will be the number one story for about 6 months. Every day, what's wrong with Brady? What's wrong with the Patriots? Is this the end? I'm telling you now, it's coming. He played great last year. Maybe he does it again this year, but it's going to happen. And when it does, it is going to be sudden. It is going to be dramatic, and it's going to be the number one story. And everyone's going to wonder what's going to happen with Belichick. It's going to be arguably the greatest collection of hot takes you have ever come across in your entire life. If you thought you could hot take LeBron, wait until you see the Brady Belichick hot takes.
Well, we were hot taking our way through the Tony Romo last year, and that was such a big story. But you're right, this is going to be tenfold, if not 100-fold, when he eventually goes out, however he does.
It won't, though, because he's already fell off, guys. This guy's not going to fall off. Go see, Brady doesn't throw the long ball. Brady is so cerebral. He's so smart, man. This guy beat you with his arms. He beat you with his eyes. He'll look you up. Like you're saying, you just alluded to, Joe, he's such a competitor. Brady understands. Brady Cam, he's statuesque. The guy, now, it's going to probably be a big injury that takes him out because of the fact he understands, and his receivers understand. Okay, 1, 2, 3, the ground belongs to me. He's getting rid of the ball. The ball's out of his hand. He's not going to sit back there and hold the ball. That's not Brady. He's going to beat you within that 15 to 20 yards. And the thing about it is, it's nothing cornerbacks can do. You go watch the game, Super Bowl. It wasn't like he was throwing the ball, lighting it up down the field. It's the 5 to 10 to 15 to enter. But his guys run so many great routes. They protect him. He knows where his pressure is. I don't think it's that fall off the cliff. Because he can't move now. I just don't. And your arm.
It's like Homer Simpson going off the cliff, then getting air-vaced out, then the ambulance crashes into the tree, and then he goes right back down the cliff. That's what it's going to be. Your boy's going down. He's going down hard, too.
I don't think so.
Okay, let me throw this out. What about Tom Brady that he said about his career and how long he wants to play makes you believe he's going out on his terms?
A Giselle Bundchen. I think that's the reason.
He's already looked through her on multiple occasions.
But I think increasingly every single year, he turns 40 years old tomorrow, by the way. Tommy B's birthday tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be at a big celebration with the family, Lo.
Have you been lying to us about that whole Canton thing? Are you going to Brady's
birthday party? Are you really going?
Is that where you're going?
That deserves a Steve Kerr.
Go ahead, though. Continue with what you're saying.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Double Kerr right there. I think that after this year, if they win the Super Bowl again, there's going to be increased pressure from Giselle saying, Tommy, I don't want you to get hurt anymore.
She already has blown his spot up nationally on multiple occasions, and he doesn't pay any mind to it. He's going until the game says no. He's not saying no to the game. The game's saying no to him. Explain to me. He says he wants to play till he's 45.
Tommy's going to walk within 3 years. Tommy ain't going to play till he's 45. He's just saying that. He'll play another 2 to 3 years, and Tommy's going to walk away from the game. He's proven
game's forcing him out. Game's forcing him out, son. What are you going to do with Garoppolo? You know Garoppolo's got 1 year left on his deal, and everyone in New England wants him to be the future of the franchise after Brady. What are you going to pay him as he's headed for free agency? You want to franchise tag him, pay him $20 million to sit behind Tom again, and then head into a Kirk Cousins-like situation where you might have to franchise tag him for a second year in a row? Then what do you do with a long-term deal?
Who's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time right here in San Francisco? Two of them. How long did he sit? How long did Steve Young in Montana exist? More than 2 years, more than 3 years. So
it's a different climate now, though, as you know.
It's a different climate, but look at the way that Brady always structures his contracts, guys. It's not like this guy, he takes his money up front. He makes sure he can be cap friendly. Here's a guy now, Garoppolo, say, okay, let's pay him. I believe that Garoppolo will get paid if he decides to stay here. I think he still may be the franchise quarterback for the New England Patriots. And I think they can pay two quarterbacks. That's the kind of
they can. For how long? See, he's got 1 year left on the deal. What are you going to do next year? He's a free agent. So you can tag him or you can give him a long-term deal. Those are your options. Because other teams are going to be willing to offer Jimmy Garoppolo 4 or 5 years, 20 plus million a year. They've seen enough. They know he's been groomed by Belichick. Someone out there is going to be dumb enough to pay that money, or it might end up being smart enough. But it's going to be – Garoppolo's playing it beautifully right now, sitting behind Brady, waiting for a spot. But if Brady wants to hang on for 3 more years, financially, you know what that does to the Patriots? How do you contend when you tie up, let's say, $45 million a year into the quarterback position?
Wow.
That's a reasonable number. Brady making 20 to 25. Garoppolo's going to be franchised. He'd be up 20. $40 to $45 million on the quarterback position, more than any other team in the business. At some point, they're going to have to make a decision. Brady's not going to make the decision for him. They're either going to escort him out. The big injury might take him out. But he's not just going to walk away into the sunset. He's too competitive. That's what you love about him. But that's also what's going to end up being his downfall. If you could actually call it a downfall after probably the greatest quarterback career of all time. We're bouncing for a minute. We're coming back with Jerry Rice. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.